Off the Ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
All right, you're all very welcome back. As ever, if you want to get in touch with us, you can text the show on 53106 or you can get in touch by email ballbag@offtheball.com or, of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook and YouTube as well. Now, I wanted to talk about a story that was doing the rounds a little bit during the week, but just to try and put some context on why it's happening. Attendances at Serie A have fallen to the point where the Premier League, the Bundesliga, the Championship and La Liga are all ahead of them. Paddy Agnew is on the line to talk to us about this. Paddy, the golden era of Serie A is something that you chronicled on a weekly basis in your column in the Irish Times, and it's something that a lot of our listeners would have grown up watching on Monday night on RTE and Sunday on Channel 4, that whole James Richardson sitting there drinking the espressos and reading the pink newspaper, and it seemed as if this was an unstoppable juggernaut of a league with the world's best players, the most colourful owners, millions and millions and millions of pounds and billions of lira at the time slushing through the system. So to go from there to a point where this league is no longer even in the top two or top three leagues, I mean, it's not an overnight decline, but it's a precipitous decline. Why has it happened?
Well, it's actually because the ruling powers in Italian football reflect the ruling powers in Italian life, the ruling powers in Italian politics, and they've been unable to get out of an old mindset, but they've been unable to adapt. And, you know, they simply... Italy has many wonderful quality products it can sell to the world, and one of them it could certainly sell when I was, you know, working in Italian television 20 years ago was Italian football. But, I mean, they failed to maximise that market in the way that the Premiership very astutely and very cleverly maximised the market. And, you know, as if the Italian economy is the sick man of the European Union, of Euroland, so too is Italian football. It's reflecting Italian football. It doesn't have the same... It simply does not have the same economic power whatsoever, and it's not necessarily related, but it certainly is a reflection that, you know, for the first time in 50 years, Italy are not going to the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely kind of draw some cause and effect from the impact of that. But if you think back to the early 90s, right, and you looked at the product that Serie A was versus the product of the Premier League, and you think about the decisions that were made at the time. So Rupert Murdoch buys the league effectively when he decides to bet the house on football. But in Italy, the owner with the most money decided to buy the most glamorous club as opposed to buying the league. And I wonder if that's where the paths ultimately diverged.
Well, I think you put your finger absolutely on it in the sense that it's Italian football owed success owed its financial success, its financial well-being to a wealthy industrial baron. So you had, the Moratti, who were a family at Inter Milan. The Moratti people import oil and petrol. You had Berlusconi, the media tycoon at AC Milan. You still have people like the Leathers family in Fiorentina. You had Achille Lauro in the 50s at Napoli. I mean, point is that that's an outdated model, simply. In today's world, and it's not it's by no means coincidental that this is the year, or 2017 was the year when Silvio Berlusconi sold AC Milan after a 30-year period in charge of the club, and as owner of the club, and he's one of the things he's regularly said about his sales is that, you know, simply I as a single industrialist simply can't afford to keep this going. You have to think on a much bigger scale, and you have to have other sources of income. And Italian football's been very, very slow to do that. It's beginning to catch up now, and we have both the Milan sides are owned by Chinese consortium. We have Americans owning Roma. But they've started a long way behind the ball game.
And that's kind of, it's hard to make back that lost ground because, you know, it's not a matter of time. It's a matter of the millions that's been pumped in that the Premier League has now. There was a gold rush for these leagues around the world. And you can see with the NFL, with them trying to get into Europe with games in Mexico, and there's even talk of them trying to get games in China as well, that everybody realises that the global market is where the growth is going to come from. But the Premier League were the ones who went out there and mapped that first.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. The only, if you want to put a positive spin on it at the moment, the arrival of the two Chinese consortia at both the Milan clubs may well prove very significant because they're obviously both very well connected in Asia. They can move into the not just the Chinese market but the Indonesian one, Indian one, and those are huge markets, and maybe they will catch up. The two Milan clubs already had a certain fan base there. And we want to build on that. But Italian football has got problems not just in the marketing of itself that relates to it geographically. They've got problems with the product because, you know, I think any of our listeners who watch Italian football these days will be very familiar with looking at, you know, some very important games being played in front of half-empty stadia. One of the problems there is that is the actual quality of the stadium. One of the big success stories at the Premiership is that they, you know, everybody revamped their grounds and their stadiums, and some in a very serious manner. And not just that, but obviously in English football, the clubs own the grounds. In Italian football, it's the local authorities which own the grounds, with the exception of Juventus, which, surprise, surprise, is by far the most successful financial club in Italy, and part of that success, undoubtedly part of that success, is a serious intake at the stadium. The box office is very good to them, and it's also, it must be worth about the Juventus stadium must be worth, in football terms, could be worth anything from 10 to 15 points every season.
Yeah, so that business model makes a lot of sense, and it's the same business model of the English clubs. But just to go back to the empty stadiums, because we were talking a little bit earlier on about this in the office, and JP was making the point that, you know, you'd be flicking through and suddenly there's an Eredivisie game on. It's a tiny stadium, but it's rammed, and you're far more likely to watch that as a casual football fan than you are to watch a stadium, no matter what the quality of the play is, being played out in front of almost nobody, because it doesn't have the sense of it being an important game. And all of this stuff is a bit chicken and egg. People won't come back unless they fix the stadiums and they sort out the hooligan issue. It's hard to sort out the hooligan issue and fix the stadiums if you don't have money. You can't get money unless you sell the TV rights around the world, and you're not going to sell the TV rights around the world unless the product improves. So it's a bit stuck.
I think it's catch-22 as myself put that.
Yeah. How do they fix it?
I think Italian football, this will be a perfect moment to start fixing it, in as much as you've just had the shock of being eliminated from the World Cup. You've a situation in which, with the exception of Juventus, no Italian club is competitive in the Champions League anymore. You've got to basically call a state of the union, stati generali, as they call it, and sit down and plan Italian football. And you would start with a number of issues, but the first one would be stadia. The second one would be youth team schemes. I mean, there's one club in Italy doing very well this year, by the way, Atalanta, who've always had a terrific youth team set up, they would be a model for other clubs to follow. If you do those two things, you'll make an immediate bounce forward, because Italian football remains very, very grounded, very, very linked into its own bailiwick, to its own its own constituency. And, you know, even it's interesting, we're talking about attendances, but I mean, you know, any little bit of enthusiasm, any little bit of improvement in results, and the numbers go up. You know, for example, Inter, Milan, Roma, Lazio, to name four, have all got you know, significantly more fans this season than they had last season at the halfway point compared to the first two halves of the season. They've gone up like something like 20,000 per game at Inter, something like 10,000 per game at Milan. They've gone up 5,000 per game at Roma, 6,000 per game at Lazio. Now that's because all four teams have put together, in the summer, there was reason for the fans to be optimistic this might be a good season, and all four teams at different points have put together some good results. They've also had some bombers, certainly in the case of AC Milan, but that's another matter.
Just about that, to extrapolate a little bit, in terms of the general football philosophy in club football in Italy, it definitely seemed as if Juve over the last 4 or 5 years have been a proper top-tier European team, capable of attracting talent, capable of making good young players into absolute world-class superstars. So, you know, that football culture is still unbelievably strong in Juve, and they've had the finances right to do that. Has the rest of Italy looked at its own playing style? Like, is there still a sense of the game and the way the high press and the general sense of attacking football that is the dominant theme of the successful Spanish teams of the last decade or so? Has that been adopted properly?
No, well, I'd say two things. I mean, defence, don't give away a goal, will always be the first cardinal rule of Italian football, and the best Italian teams are always going to be built around a very strong defence, and that's the way it's always been, and I suspect always will be. But everybody realises you can't just, you know, that age is gone in terms of, you know, we're a long, long way gone past Campanaccio. And if you look at some of the teams, the one team in particular this season, Napoli. Napoli, who are the only side who can threaten Juventus and stop Juventus winning a seventh consecutive title. One aspect of them is that they play very, very attractive football, and the football that you could see in the league or you could see in the Premiership. They do not sit around waiting for anybody to take the game to them. They take the game to everybody, and they, to a certain extent, one thing they don't know how to do is if they do get in front and if they have to hang on for the last 10 minutes, they're in real difficulty. It's not a way that they can play. Now, whether that answers your question, that's another matter, because I would say this though, Ger, the Italian football under the AC Milan side of Riccardo Gullit and Van Basten and Arrigo Sacchi, which was a very good side in the late 80s, early 90s, arguably the best club side in the world at the time, they did change the way Italian coaches and Italian football saw itself. So the idea that we can keep on just playing it tight, Italians realise you can do that.
The sense from the Premier League and the sense again to draw the NFL comparison is that people are tuning out of sport in big numbers, like it's double digits drop in figures, and I don't know if people are actually just watching it on illegal streams and they're not being counted. That's definitely one possibility, but there is also a possibility that people are kind of the heat, the pure heat of that level of fandom is coming off, particularly for local teams, as almost nobody from the locality plays on those teams anymore. It's kind of just a natural enough thing. The old fans die out and the new generation come along and go, well, I'm actually just going to pick Man United or somebody else, because this means far less. You know, I see those teams more often and I read more about them and they're easier to access. Are viewership figures down in Italy the way they are everywhere else, or are they holding relatively steady?
Which figures?
Viewership, TV viewership.
Viewership, yeah. They're holding reasonably steady. I mean, indeed, the Italian football authorities sometimes think, often think, and there's too much football on television, and that's part of the reason that the attendances until recently were continually going down. In fact, as I've just said, they're actually coming up again. I think one, you've touched on one thing that's very interesting there, is that people watch football in different ways nowadays. You know, there was a time when you had, you know, there was Match of the Day, and initially we had La Domenica Sportiva every Sunday night, but you know, people are watching games on their mobiles or streaming into games, or, you know, they're coming at it in a very different way, and I'm not sure if and that obviously that means that you're gonna pay for that sometimes with lower attendances, but you've got to adapt and take that on board.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brilliant having you on with us, Paddy. Thanks a million for making the time for us this Friday evening.
You're welcome.
Enjoy the weekend's football.
And to you too.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.